We have just read in our Sunday school hour, responsively, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. So, if you take your Bibles, please come along and join with us. Verses 1 to 5, I believe, covers two issues in life. One of them, I believe, is found in verses 1 and 2. My son, and notice the term of endearment, so now he's directing his attention to probably Rehoboam, who is going to become the next king upon Solomon's death. And so Solomon, as any wise king, wanting to ensure the throne, wanting to ensure the continuity of the kingdom and the stability of the kingdom, is passing on to the next king advice on how to be a good king and how to maintain the strength, the unity, and the vitality of the kingdom. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now I know that the word surety has the concept of making a loan, or like co-signing, okay, or making a pledge to pay back something or to do something. It's getting yourself in bondage by placing oneself in debt with another individual. And in olden days, before the need for contracts and signing on the dotted line and having a room full of lawyers to make sure that the contract is up to snuff, in ancient days, and even in our nation's past, when two men agreed on something, whether in exchange of service or exchange of cash, whatever, a simple handshake was good enough between the two parties. And I believe that's what's being referred to with the hands. But what Solomon here is warning his son, be very careful in enslaving yourself to another individual by means of getting into debt. And today, beloved, many people in our society are in debt over their eyeballs to the bank or to some lending agency. And when you read all of the Bible together, being in debt is a form of slavery. You are enslaved to the ones to whom you have made that debt. Now, we know that in parts of life, you can't get away from getting into debt. For instance, a car loan, or a home loan, or maybe medical bills, and you make a pledge with the collection agency to pay so much a month to whittle down the medical bills. Beloved, that's a fact of life that probably none of us can get out of. Unless you have so much money available, you can just simply write a check or drop a card and you can pay it off lickety-split. But most people today are in debt, sometimes with two, three, or four charge cards in their wallet. Some of them are totally maxed out. And that's due to no discipline and no concept of money. Those individuals have put themselves in debt out of their own foolishness. Then I believe we find something else in verses 3, 4, and 5. It would seem that Solomon is giving Rehoboam some sound advice on making reconciliation with those with whom there is now a rift. There has been probably a rift in a friendship or in a relationship. He says, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself, and thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure of thy friend. Give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. So I can see how Jesus, in his teaching, gave his church sound advice in making reconciliation or even correcting any kind of offense, like for instance in Matthew chapter 18, one-on-one, two or three-on-one, and then the church will then take action. And so here we see he's giving Rehoboam some sound advice in making things right if there seems to be a rift or a breach in a relationship. Then in verses 6 to 11, we find the cure for the welfare state. We are currently in a labor shortage right now. I don't know about where you live, but in Topeka, Kansas, there is a labor shortage. By that I mean we have help wanted signs everywhere. You go into some of the larger grocery stores and you are forced to bag your own groceries because all you have is a cashier, but there's no baggers. Well, we have found out that in our state, our liberal-minded, Biden-like governor is basically paying people to stay home. Why work when the government will deposit whatever into your account at the beginning of the month? Why work? There's no incentive to working at all. And so across America, now we have those who are disabled. I understand that. And if we have a system in place that will provide for them, I have no problem with that. Don't get me wrong. We got the elderly that are in nursing homes or assisted living. I have no problem with that. Whatever means that there's out there to take care of them. But at the same time, in our country, we have a large population of lazy, good-for-nothing individuals who would rather stay home and have the working taxpayer buy their food, pay for their cell phones, pay for their cigarettes, pay for their alcohol, pay for their drug addiction. They sit on their blessed assurance. They're able to work. They got nine fingers, two thumbs. They got two feet. The legs work. The hands work. All right. The stomach seems to work. The plumbing seems to work. Okay. Inflow, outflow, all that seems to work. But they don't want to work. They are lazy. And they stay home and simply exist. Well, notice what he says. He says to his son, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" So I'm addressing myself not to anyone who is truly disabled and needs some type of an assistance. I'm not talking about that. Nor am I addressing the elderly who are in nursing homes or in assisted living. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who's 18 years old or 25 years old, still living with his parents, or she's still living with a grandparent, sucking and mooching the life out of these individuals because they're too lazy to get out there and get a job. But somehow they have one, two, three cell phones. They got a laptop. They got cigarettes. They have access to booze, even the little drugs. And even some fornication on the side. I find it amazing that in our society, we reward laziness while condemning thriftiness and being responsible enough to work and then to provide for yourself. We punish the worker, but we bless the sluggard. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, and yet a little folding of the hands." And that's how many people are today in this country. They can work. The body works. Everything is functioning. These are not disabled individuals. There's no handicap here other than being a bum or being lazy. Flat out lazy. And then verse 11 says what about this individual? "So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Eventually, they're going to hit the wall. Okay? So as Christians, we ought to be the most energetic, the most trusted worker on the job. Your bosses should have no concern about the 8 hours of work that you do to get 8 hours of pay. You ought to be thrifty. You ought to be responsible, whether the boss is in the office or whether he's outside the office. Whether he can watch you or whether he can't see you, you ought to be thrifty enough to do your job and to be dependable. The child of God on the workforce should be and ought to be the best dependable worker any company, any corporation, or any small business will ever have, because they apply this principle and not being a lazy, good-for-nothing sluggard. Well, may the Lord bless and keep you, and it's quite evident that the modern-day welfare system will not like these words, but it's the truth. Amen.